Okay, starting with the Q&A session, the following financial professionals are asking us questions today: Fernando Lafuente, Alantra; Gonzalo Sánchez-Bordona, UBS; Ahmed Farfan, Jefferies; Pedro Alves, CaixaBank; Rob Pulleyn, Morgan Stanley; Fernando García, Royal Bank of Canada; Jorge Guimarães, JB Capital Markets; Daniel Rodríguez, Bestinver; James Brand, Deutsche Bank; Javier Suárez, Mediobanca; Andrew Mulder, CreditSights; and Jorge Alonso, Société Générale. The first group of questions are related to the capital raise deal. First one is, the main question analysts are asking is related to the rationale of the equity raise. Why do you think the equity raise is a preferred option versus other means of financing?
Well, I think we have an extraordinary and impressive opportunity to invest in networks. I think it's not new for us. We said already in our CMA that our priority is investment in networks, and we will prioritize networks, and we'll be selective in renewables. I think we were expecting that the network business, the networks demand increases in most countries, but we are not expecting to increase as soon as it's increasing as in the size which is already being produced. I think once we got already the confirmation of the numbers from the U.K. regulator, and once we have already started conversation with the American regulator, so we saw that what is the size of the investment we have to afford in the next few years, and we feel then that is the best solution. Why? Because I think it's a sector which is clear, stable, and attractive frameworks. We are investing in A-rate countries that need this huge investment. But I think that is regulated, and regulated means they require a minimum equity requirements. I think it's we are there are limitation to finance only with debt if we don't like if we would like to maximize the return. I think if we the debt is paid by the regulator, and the equity is paid in different terms. So that's why I think we feel it's better to make equity instead to put already debt, because I think that will be not good for the shareholders. A part of this one, for the rest of our investment, we will continue to be financed with our operating cash flow, where you see, you saw the needs increasing by 15% in the first half. With our liquidity, we have more than 20 billion, and with the asset rotation and partnership, we will continue. I think we have already signed very many during the first half of the year. You saw already, I present already. But I think what is clear is, with this opportunity, we are going to accelerate our growth. It's absolutely in line with our strategy. I insist that our priority was network in A-rate countries with attractive reserve frameworks. And with this increase in share capital, we are preserving our BBB+ rating, and we are keeping and maintaining our dividend policy, which, as we have already done in the last 25 years since owning the company. So we feel that is the best opportunity for shareholders, making that one in this manner, instead to make in the form of debt, which I think in form of debt will not generate the positive returns then that can already been obtained if we inject equity in these opportunities. Well, it's clearly, I think, has no sense. If we have our priorities networks, it's no sense to sell networks to invest in networks. So I think it's clear that our priority is networks, and we would like to keep networks, not to sell networks to invest in networks. So it's no sense. So I think it's we would like to be current with our strategy. Priority is networks, and we would like to increase our networks. I think to give you some numbers, I think in 2020, we have 30 billion euros RAB. Today is around 50-51 billion. In 2030, will be 90 billion. If you have an average of equity debt ratio in this RAB, that means we will be paying on the range of 45-50 billion equity at 9.5. That generate already just a net profit of the company in these regulated activities on the range of close to 5 billion euros per annum. That is the size of the company we are in this moment creating. So, and that is what, that is unique opportunity. And that's why I think has been such a huge demand of investors that they would like to participate in that one. That we are very pleased because we are working for investors and I think it would like investors happy and that is an opportunity for investors to be even more happy.
Okay, before the following with the question number two, we have had two more analysts, Dominic Nash from Barclays and Philippe Orpatian from Odo, and obviously, I'm sorry for that, Jorge Alonso belongs Bernstein, not SocGen, as I said. Second question, how much buffer financial flexibility are you trying to obtain with this capital increase? Can you give guidance about what do you expect in terms of leverage metrics over the next 5 years?
So we are fully confident that this transaction is more than sufficient to fund our extraordinary investment and opportunities in the UK and US. I think it's, as I was saying, it's 75% more investment in this 6 years toward the previous 6 years. But I think this transaction will come together with another sources of financing. I think we are generating additional cash flow. So I think we are seeing that our cash flow in the first half is increasing by 50%. So I also will increase more thanks to the new investment, which I think this the regulated is already generating cash flow from the very beginning. Liquidity as well, we have more than 20 billion liquidity. Recently we signed another lines of liquidity of 25 billion, Pepe, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. 2.5 billion, and we have more than 20 billion liquidity. And I think we have plenty access to the debt. So I think I know bankers knocking our door all the time for giving more money, and we have access, easy access to the bond market. And I think we are, Pepe will explain, has already explained clearly. And also we'll continue with our rotation. And those things we consider are not already a strategy for us, or we continue making partnership. I think only with Masdar we have partnership for 7 billion euros. With Norges is 2.4 billion euros. And with others, I think with Kansai we have 1.2, and others, and we continue on this. And I think with all those things we consider we have money enough to cover it and to fully to invest on this in this opportunity and preserve our ratios and preserve our dividend policy. It's very important on that one. I think for the 25 years in the company, I was already maintaining a very consistent and current dividend policy for shareholders. I think we start already, we committed with shareholders, the dividend is a must. And we are already just following these criteria in the 25 years. So that means we will keep already our financial solidity. We will may increase our growth or speed up our growth, and we keep our dividend policy. But nevertheless, I think that is the basis of our Capital Market Day on the 24th of September. Then we can already present with more detail. But I insist on that one. I think it's a unique opportunity. And that is what today the shareholders or the investors are already asking for more and more in oversubscribing this opportunity.
Next is given the recent changes in our management team, if this equity rise related to in any form to the naming of the new CEO, and given his pass as M&A officer in Iberdrola, should we expect these proceeds to be allocated in a big M&A transaction?
So, absolutely is not related. Pedro is a good guy. He has a lot of things to do for already taking, looking for improvement of the business. He's fully committed with the company. He knows the company very well. And in the few days he's in the company, he's fully taking care of all those things which are related with the business. I think this rational transaction is nothing to see with himself. It's something which is rational, which is an opportunity, what it's appear, and I think and that this transaction, this opportunity of increasing the investment plan in networks in UK is just because the RIIO-T3 has been published. So it's as simple as that one. So it's not Pepe, it's not Pedro, it's not Juan, it's Lope. It's just of GEM, we has already published a RIIO-T3, which is 14 billion pounds investment. which I think is absolutely confirming our expectation, and that's why, for confirming this expectation, we are already just looking for this money. Same thing with United States. I think the New York rate case has been presented, negotiated with the regulator. Now it takes their time, but I think is aware they have not already, they already accepted our proposal, and now we are in the negotiation how that can evolve. But I think certain those are the reason, nothing to see with Pedro, which I'm delighted what he's doing and what he has to do. So, but that is nothing to see with himself for the moment.
Next is related to the asset rotation plan. Shall we conclude from your messages that you are not going to do any meaningful asset disposal?
So I think it's absolutely not. I think we will continue with our asset rotation. We'll continue with our partnership strategy. Last year, I think it's business as usual plus this extraordinary opportunity. That is the approach. I think this destination of this equity right is for organic growth. Organic growth, organic growth, which means investment in transmission and distribution mainly in UK and United States for already providing and delivering the commitment we can take with the regulators. This equity rise is linked, I insist, in this extraordinary investment. And I think, I insist, we hope it is sufficient to fully fund our plans together with another success for ordinary investment, which I insist is the cash flow generated, the liquidity we have, the access on the market, and the asset rotation and partnerships that we will continue as we've been doing during the last few years. That is, this transaction is not triggering additional asset rotation and partnership on top of what we are expecting. I think it's business as usual plus this extraordinary opportunity. So, I think if there are any potential opportunity for investment arise, we'll not expect the moment at all that additional asset, any rise equity again. We will make already with asset rotation as we did. I think if tomorrow we have to make any, let's say, a small opportunity, I think we'll make, as we have already done another one, I think we divest something for investing another thing. But I think we are not going to use this money for making already a new, let's say, acquisition. No, it's for that. It's for extraordinary investment in networks, mainly UK, United States, in the lines defined by RIIO-T3 and defined by the new rate case which we are underway in New York and in Maine.
Next, you have publicly stated that you now do not expect to need to come back to the market until at least 2030. Under which circumstances could this situation change?
So, please, I think we can foresee what we can foresee, and we have the picture of today, and with the picture of today, and with the situation of today, that is what we are foreseeing. And our commitment, you know, we are not already a company, we change our rules every night. So when we said something, we are committed, and we deliver what we committed. So we are committed that today's, with today's picture, knowing what we have today, we need money for an extraordinary thing. We've been for many years what we've been already maintaining our dividend policy, maintaining our investment policy, delivering our commitments in our always ahead of our outlooks. That is our style, and I think now with the visibility we have already for the next 5 years, with this visibility, we don't need any other increase in share capital. So with our cash flow generation, with our liquidity, with our asset to the market, we are able to invest the visibility. We are going to present to you all these numbers on the 23rd of September. Enough resources for affording the visibility of the investment we have to afford in the next few years. Keeping and maintaining our dividend policy, keeping and maintaining our financial solidity as we did, and using our asset rotation if needed, and continue with our partnership as we have already done in the last months.
Next query is about other means of financing the plan. How much debt hybrid do you expect to raise over the next 5 years? include.
So I don't know the numbers, but I think what I think for us is very clear that our FFO net debt will be in line with our triple B plus rating, and that has increased in the size of the company. Also, if the size of them grows, the debt will grow. But I think we will preserve our strong ratios and we will maintain our dividend policy. In any case, I think we'll give more details on CMD. But I think you, Pepe, would like to add anything. But I think the data we will share with everybody on the 24th of September.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely right. I think the idea is to maintain this. This capital raise has been done to maintain, to be under the triple B plus rating, which is we think that is the cost of capital lowest for us, and that is the idea. So obviously we have the numbers here, but I mean the message is that that we will be in the triple B plus rating, well into this range, and that is what we are expecting. Obviously, we will raise a little bit the debt, but as the chairman was saying, we will also expect to raise the FFO, so the ratios will be comfortable between the triple B plus rating.
Next question is about dividend policy. I understand you are maintaining the dividend policy, but could you explain if your decision is of issuing equity has been driven by the need of to continue to pay an attractive dividend? By how much should you have cut your dividend to avoid the capital increase, just in case?
So I think I would like to insist again. That is an extraordinary opportunity. What we can already increase our RAB at nominal value instead of paying a premium of 40-50%, which is the normal transaction, which is made in all transactional regulated activities. So, and for that, we would like then the shareholders' benefit of this opportunity of in value increase of the company. So I think nothing to see with the dividend and nothing to see with the debt. The debt is decreasing, the dividend is increasing, and we would like to finance that one, maximizing the return for shareholders. If we increase the debt, that should be bad for shareholders because the debt will not be remunerated, will be only pay, it will be a pass-through. So the equity is going to be remunerated. The debt is a pass-through. So if we put more debt in a regulated activity, it's good for banks. It's not good for shareholders.
Next, why is this capital increase accretive for Iberdrola shareholders?
You may, because it's accretive. I would like to insist. I think if they paying the equity at 9.5, and the money is costing to us at 4%, between 9 and 4, so you see how much, what is the return. It's very simple. But I think, Pepe, you can make the numbers. For me, it's very clear. The equity is paid at 9.5, and I think and the money is costing at 4.5. So the difference is accretive.
Yeah, well, that is what the chairman says. This allows us to invest an additional 5 billion in networks. As the chairman was saying, with an average return equity of 9.5%. And obviously that is accretive both in terms of net profit and in terms of EPS, okay?
Last question related to the capital raise. Although I think it has been already explained in the previous answer, why do you think now is the right moment to raise equity? Why not wait until your next Capital Markets Day on September 24th?
So I think we would like then the Capital Market Day will be we talk about business. We talk not how to finance the business. I think making that one, we can already just confirm then the way how we will finance is already fully solved. Also, it's because I think it's the object I mentioned before, the urgent draft determination was public a few days ago. And I think it's the time for saying, okay, how to make that one and to give already to our regulator the certainty that we have financial resources for affording the investment required. Same thing in the US. I think we just filing the new rate case, and I think the amount of money we are already presenting is such a huge, then the obvious question for regulator is, do you have money enough for funding this investment? And I think we can say now, yes, we have money enough, we have equity enough for funding either of Yen and either UK, either in the United States. So, and I think that is already, I insist on that one, it's an unprecedented opportunity for accelerating our growth and delivering our strategy in networks, which is our priority, in two countries, which is clear, stable, well known for us. I think we are almost 20 years in both countries, attractive with predictable frameworks. I was recently with the British Prime Minister, and I think he was already explaining their policy related to electrification of the country and the measure they would like to make for making this country more attractive for rising, for attracting investment. And that is what we would like to already benefit of this opportunity.
Moving forward to the question related to the results, the first one is, could you please provide your view on the extension of the nuclear facilities, possible extension of the nuclear facilities in Spain?
So, I think nuclear plants, I think is, I said as engineer many times, I was repeating this, for many times, are efficient, are safe. I think it's, they provide autonomy and stability to the national energy system. And I insist is the most efficient solution to keep the lights on. And that's why I think all European countries are already extending, European and non-European, extending the life of this nuclear power plant. However, in the case of Spain, with the current taxation, with around 30 euros megawatt hour, which is compared with 15, is half with Spain in France, may then not viable with the forward prices we are expecting in the future. We was already what happened between 2010 and 2020. We are in a loss in our nuclear power plant. Why? Because a nuclear power plant are not already manageable. It's a price takers. So whatever price is set in the daily, I think we have to, we are paying on these stamps. So that's why I think we cannot, as others, I think we can offer, make an offer at a price another one, but in those one we cannot stop and put in service. I think it's already working 24 hours a day. So that's why I think this base load system, which are not already, you cannot manage in the sense of others, like hydroelectric or like CCGTs of gas. That's why we are asking if that is the most efficient solution to keep the lights on. I think it's not at our cost. It's already, has to be already in a manner that we can already not be in a loss. And that's why we ask for a reduction of this task burden. But I think even if this task burden is already, let's say, flexibilized, I think some region, Valencia, is already flexibilizing that one, is already announcing this region to reduce this taxation. But I think even though, I think the existing legislation, if there are no changes, they don't allow us to ask for this extension. I think it's needed. It changes in the actual legislation to allow us for asking for extension. We are not allowed to ask. But I think that I'm sure then that can be solved. But I think the point is the first and the second. First one, taxation. And second one, the government have to allow us to ask for the extension even after reduction of this taxation. I think in any case, what I can say for the Spanish citizens, so we are power enough in CCGTs in gas, more than double than that power we have already in nuclear, to provide the service. But they have to pay an extra price as is already make already by the analysis of Pricewaterhouse and we disclosed last time, with they're expecting an increase of 35% extra cost for consumers if the nuclear power plant are closed. That is analysis made by PricewaterhouseCoopers, but which is confirmed as well by PricewaterhouseCoopers what is happening in Germany since they closed the nuclear power plant. The German consumers are paying more than those countries that are keeping the nuclear power plant in operation. So, but I think that is our proposal, very clear. With the present taxation makes this power plant not economically not viable, even if they are absolutely the best and most efficient economical solution for keeping the lights on. But I think the lights on will be made with combined cycle of gas. Then we have double power than the nuclear. So I think the Spanish citizens can be sure that we can provide that one, but the cost will be much more expensive than keeping those one open. And that is the point we have to be taking a decision. We are not making the energy policy. The energy policy is making by the governments, and the government has to decide. So we are already, if they like to close, we close. If they would like to keep open, we keep open, and we have the solution. But I think, nevertheless, I think we are in a continuous dialogue with them. But the thing is, the decision is not in our hands. It's in the hands of those ones who are making the energy policy, which is the government.
Next is related to the CNMC proposal for the next regulatory period in networks in Spain. Our opinion.
I can, to the same point, I start with the same comment. Energy policy is made by regulators and the government. So I think, and we have to adapt to this policies. I think it's clear the European Commission has provided very clear guidance how to incentivize the network investment. And they said clearly the first thing they are talking is elimination of the investment caps. We have investment caps in Spain still. We need, that's what said the European Commission, anticipatory investment to meet the national integrated and climatic plan change. Means they need to incentivize investment now in that front if we would like to electrify. So they talk about the elimination of delays on recognition of investment. We are having problems on that one. The fact we have in the court several demands or several litigation because of no recognition of certain investment already done in the past. That is recommended not to happen. And last one, they are talking about rate. We have already to cover full cost recovery to be attractive, for attract these hundreds of billion euros that Europe need already in investment in the grid. However, this draft proposal, I think, in my opinion, is providing a clear negative signal to the market, signaling the side of reducing the maintenance cost, so the recognition of the cost of maintenance of the current network infrastructure, and not incentivating the investment in new asset. I think that is my reading of what they have already done. And I think we will make our answer and our response to the consultation in August, and I think we expect then the things will move on the right direction. Nevertheless, as you saw, the size of our regulated business in Spain is quite small compared with the rest of another countries. It's by 2030 is less than 10% of our total regulatory asset base, so which I think is important, but I think is not crucial for us.
Next is, what's your take on the draft proposal, draft determination on the RIIO-T3 framework elaborated by Ofgem?
So I think the opposed to the Spanish one, I think our view to that one is positive. It recognizes the need of significant more investment in electricity infrastructure. It's aligned with the UK government energy and industrial strategy, which position electrification as the key driver of the economic growth, which was reflected in the industrial strategy of the government. The government is also underlined the relevance of creating a stable and attractive framework to enable private investment. So, and that is what is reflected. And I think it's that why I think the draft determination includes in our case this 14 billion new investment in transmission up to 2031, on top of the 8 to 10 billion that will be invested in the distribution in the next 5 years, so which part of them are correspond to ED2, and another one we expect already will be in the ED3 once ED2 is finished in 2028. The draft also introduced improvement in the financial parameters to make that more financeable. And but I think we are now in talks with OGM because for looking for some details and to improve some of those parameters. I think globally we are positive, but I think there are things that we are already negotiating to improve certain things. Also, I have to say about the British government, the coherence of the British government, the British regulation. Is I mentioned to you as one of your questions in the last conference, you asked about the zonal pricing. I was saying that that is going to happen. I can confirm that the government has already confirmed my advice that that is going not to happen and is not to proceed with this zonal pricing.
Next is related to the East Anglia 3. Can you please outline what is the impact booked in the different lines in the P&L from the sale of East Anglia 3?
Pepe, you can explain that one.
Yeah, well, as I have mentioned in other income, which is in the expense part, so over the EBITDA, we have a minus 81 million euros negative impact, and we have an around that 250 million. Positive impact on the derivatives part. So in this first half, the impact is plus 170 million. The only thing is that in the third quarter, we will have to book another negative impact, precisely in net operating expenses of around 60 million euros. You know that will reduce at the end of the third quarter the total positive impact to around 100 million before taxes, which is around 75 million after taxes. So as of the first half, we are booking 170 million before taxes, and on the third quarter we will add a negative impact of around 60 million, and that will give us a net profit for the whole transaction of slightly over 100 million before taxes and around 75 million after taxes by the end of the third quarter.
Next is related to the effects or possible effects of the yesterday's rejection of the Spanish Parliament of the anti-blackout decree.
So, as always, we respect the decision of the Parliament, so I'm going to enter into the local debate. We have enough debates and we are going to come to the debate. I think, as far as I know, some of the measures included has already a sense in the area of increasing security of supply of the system, reduction of the bottlenecks that are creating latent demand which is not covered, especially for industry, and we've been already for years already claiming for that one, and promoting the new electricity demand, so with a level playing field. But I think is I'm sure that I heard as well that the another the position is thinking to present just a law for covering all these things. So which I think I don't know if it has to be a royal decree of a law. I was off. I will come back again. So I said then I respect already the decision of the Parliament, and I don't like to enter into the local debate. So I was saying that there are some measures included we has already sense, such as security of supply in the system, a reduction of the potential bottlenecks, covering the latent demand we cannot be covered today, especially in the industry. And one thing which is very important is the promoting the growth in electricity demand with a level playing field. But I think what I heard is that the opposition is presenting or preparing just a law covering all these things and others, I don't know which ones, and I think we will see what is the point. So, but I don't like to come into the parliamentary debate. I don't know the some reason for that one. And I think the important thing is to solve the problem that we have in the system. And I think those one, they have to look what is the best way for solving those things.
The last question received is one related to the press news of today about the possible plan of Iberdrola to sell the remaining assets in Mexico. Can you comment on this?
I don't comment on rumors, no idea.
We have several questions about the next Capital Markets Day to be held on September the 24th. So obviously, we will drive all these questions to this Capital Markets Day. So now, please let me now give the floor to Mr. Galán to conclude this event.
So thank you very much for the participation in this call. So as always, Investor Relations team will be available for making whatever answer whatever questions you would like to pass. So I think I would like as well to use this opportunity to thanks to the teams we is already working the transaction, which I think is which is becoming already a success. And Pepe and your team, thank you very much, because you have already done a great job in that a few hours when you prepare all those things. Thank you very much, all of you, and I hope you enjoy already with this new opportunity that we have already in this moment. Thank you very much for your attention, and if you have not seen the opportunity, I wish you a very good summer holidays. Rest a bit and see you in September. Thank you.